The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again," said the crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "The voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment of the world, of this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The gospel of the Lord. A broken and contrite heart, O Lord, you will not despise. Having made our Lenten journeys, may you find such a heart in each of us. Amen. I think it was American Express years ago had a great advertising campaign. It went something like, "You can get there from here." And that's important, isn't it? You can get there from here, because why bring up things that you can't attain? Why flash a beautiful dream vacation up on the screen only not to be able to afford it? Why contemplate a very comfortable retirement if you have no plan to get there, but can't ultimately be achieved? And American Express was saying, "Well, we're going to be that person. We're going to help you. You can get there from here." Because if you can't get there from here, otherwise you would probably despair, or at least lose hope. I mean, what would be the point? Ironically, Jeremiah is making the same distinction in the passage that we heard from chapter 31, in verses 31 through 34. He's talking about religion. And what he's saying is, in the old covenant, you can't get there from here. But in the new, you can. In the old, you can. In the new, you can. And in that, he's giving us, as a people, hope. And so as we make our way through Lent and we contemplate our brokenness and our sinfulness and our need of God, we're reminded that he's always reaching out towards us, that he's always acting. And what we're hearing him say today in that Jeremiah passage is, you can get there from here. So let's look at the passage and see if that bears out. "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers." There's an old covenant and there's a new covenant. What does he mean by covenant? First of all, just covenant generally, we could stick in the word religion. What is our relationship towards God? That's what was defined by the old covenant. There was more than one covenant in the Old Testament, wasn't there? There was the one that was formed with Noah when a bow was put in the sky and God said that he wouldn't flood the earth again. There was one made with Abraham when it said that he would bless all the nations of the earth, that through his seed that would happen. But really what Jeremiah is talking about is kind of the ultimate covenant, if you will, the ultimate religion, the definition of our relationship to God, and that was done at Sinai when the Ten Commandments were given, right? That's the old covenant. Here's a list of rules written upon stone, and you are to follow them. And if you do, I will be your God, and you will be my people. But here's the problem. That doesn't work. Jeremiah knows that. How many times have they had to renew the covenant? Why is there a day of atonement every year when people have to repent of their sins? The people didn't keep the commandments. And so the covenant had to be renewed again and again throughout the Old Testament. I mean, think about this. even as Moses was coming off the mountain with the tablets of stone in his hand, the people had already embraced an idol. They had already crafted a golden calf, right? I mean, it didn't take very long for the fall to occur again, even after the covenant was made. And that's because we are who we are. We're humans. It's our nature after the fall to be inclined towards rebellion, to not keeping the rules. In fact, we can't keep them perfectly. And that's what Jeremiah's figured out. He's saying, something's got to change because the old covenant just doesn't work. It doesn't work. God made it with people and the people were unruly. It's not God's problem, it's ours that the covenant doesn't work. And so he's going to create a new covenant. And it will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt because they broke my covenant. Though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. And that's what it's like for God when we break the covenant. It's like cheating on a spouse. I was it and they didn't comply. They weren't faithful. They didn't do it. And so I'm going to create a new system, a new covenant. And it's going to be a wonderful and great thing. He says, this covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Are you seeing the distinction there? What God expects of us is now going to be put inside of us. It's not going to be written upon a stone tablet. It's not going to be something that Moses can hurl at us in a great scene from a movie. No, it's something that God's going to put inside of us. Why? How? By Jesus dwelling in us, by the Holy Spirit coming into our hearts and transforming us. It's going to be there. And so Jeremiah is making this great distinction between one way that by that means you can't get there and the means by which you can. It's the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant is an external thing. The law. The Ten Commandments. And by it we are measured. And all of us check up short. Is there any reason why the last one, you know, has to be about coveting things? So let's say you get through today, you don't murder anyone, you don't commit adultery, you don't kill. How many of us get through the day without coveting? I mean, there are cars that go by me all the time. I'd like to have that car. I'd like to have that. That's nice. I saw a Jeep the other day when we were having dinner at Avellino's. And I went, I want that. I want that. I didn't even utter it out loud. I'm just sitting right there in front of my family. I mean, that's what we do. We can't keep the law. We're incapable of doing it. Jeremiah gets it. God gets it. He's speaking through Jeremiah and saying, I'm bringing a new covenant, and I'm going to put it in your hearts. And I'm going to write it on your hearts, so you're going to do it out of a gratitude or a generosity for what I've done for you in Jesus. I'm going to do it. You can get there from here because I'm going to make it happen. And that's the great distinction between the old covenant and the new covenant. And here's the sad thing. Yesterday we had this great picnic. Most of you were there. It was wonderful. And we're inviting neighbors from Linwood Park to come out and be a part of a community, a celebration, a fellowship. And many of those people don't go to church. And there's a reason why. Because they grew up hearing the law. And they know that they're judged by it. You know what happens? They get to the edge of the door and they go, wow, I didn't measure up then. I don't measure up now. I'm turning around. I'm headed home. They were preached something that was not the new covenant. They were preached the law. And by it, every person failed. And by it, every person would despair. If that's all we were fed, we'd go, man, I'm just a miserable sinner. I'll crawl home. And that's why people don't come to church, because they don't hear grace. They don't hear the new covenant. And that's a failure of the church in dramatic ways. And there's a reason why this is called Grace Community, because we want to invite people in where they'll be embraced, where they'll be cared for who they are, regardless of where they've been and regardless of what they've done, because they're being embraced by God in the new covenant. Now, that doesn't mean that we're lax about the morality that God calls us to. Oh, it's a high bar. It's a very high bar. Never hear me say anything that diminishes the law. But here's the truth about the law. It has no power to bring about in us what it demands of us. No power. Pascal said that. It has no power to bring about in us what it demands of us. But God does. He has the power And that's what he's doing in the new covenant. He's coming into us in the person of Jesus. He's coming into us in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's making it possible for us to get there from here. And so we don't have to despair. We can have hope. We can have joy. We can go, hey, I'm going to fail at this and I'm going to fall, but God's going to pick me back up and dust me off and put me right back on the path again. That's the way God works. That's the way the new covenant works. And apart from that, why would anyone want to come to church? I wouldn't. All I would feel is judgment. All I would feel is despair. But God created a new way, and Jeremiah was the prophet prophesying, foretelling what was to come in the person of Jesus. He says, no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. Two things that are important about that. We won't have to be taught about God. He's going to be in our hearts and we're going to know about God. And you know what that means? Nobody has to mediate God to you. Universal access. Yeah, I'm a priest, and in some ways I'm trying to communicate faith to other people, but you know what? You don't need me to have it. You don't need me to further it. You don't need me to help you to grow in it. I want to do those things. I'm a shepherd of sheep, and that's something that God calls me to, but no one can control your destiny, say God alone. When he says that they're going to know that from the least of these to the greatest, that it's something that you can have, and no one mediates that to you. It makes it accessible to everyone. And then finally he says, for I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. I love the fact that God has a pitiful memory. Helps me out at the end of the day. You know, I don't know if it's Alzheimer's or what, but it works to my advantage. He can't remember. He forgives our sins and remembers our transgressions no more. You know what that means for us? Why that's such good news? Because what he's doing in the new covenant is permanent and it's final. Now think about the Jews of old. They lived under this really bad situation where they had to atone for their sins one day a year, but they had to keep coming back year after year. Why? Because they were sinners. It really did nothing to resolve the situation. It did nothing to renew their hearts and make them new. And so it wasn't final, it wasn't permanent, it was something that had to go on again and again. What Jeremiah is telling us, what God's going to do in Jesus Christ is final and permanent. He's going to dwell in us and help us to get there from here. And that's just a great and wonderful story. So to kind of sum up, what we're saying is that Jeremiah is saying that the new covenant, and it is new, it supersedes the old. And the church needs to realize that because it needs to preach grace and not law. It doesn't mean that we don't expect morality, but you can't get there from here apart from the grace of Jesus Christ, apart from his presence in our heart. And people need to know that. Otherwise, they're never going to come through those doors. And that's why we're Grace Community. That's why we're doing events in the park and inviting people to come and be a part of what we're doing, because grace has been extended to us and we want to extend it to other people. We want people to know that they're loved in spite of who they are and what they've done. So three things about what Jeremiah said, that the new covenant is spiritual. It's not about this external thing, these stone tablets that can be hurled at us and that by which we are measured and never measure up. It's inward. It's about the heart and changing it. It's something that God is doing internally. And it's universal. It's not something that has to be mediated. You have access, the same amount of access to the God who transforms his people as I do, or any bishop does, or any pope does, any evangelist does. It doesn't have to be mediated. And finally, it's permanent and final. It can't be taken away. It's something that God is doing for us, and it abides. It lasts forever. That's what we are meant to hear. And those truths are what will draw people through the doors of the church. That's what will draw them into a community of faith, when they know that they're going to be embraced because they were created in the image of God just like we were. They know that they're going to be embraced because faith is available to them and universal in its availability and final and permanent and its ability to redeem. And they're going to go, that's good news. That's actually really good news given who I am and where I've been and what I've done. And so we want to be about grace. We want to hear what it is that Jeremiah is saying. The time is coming when I make a new covenant. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers. There is old and there is new, and we have been created and saved by the new, and we ought to be proclaiming it to the world because it's the game changer. It's the only thing that makes a difference. It's the only thing that makes us aware that we can walk into the presence of God and have Him look upon us and us gaze upon His face and know that it's possible. Apart from the new covenant, it doesn't happen. And that's good news. And that's what's going to cause the kingdom of God to grow. I don't know about churches. Churches sometimes use the law to guilt people into doing things that maybe they otherwise wouldn't do. What God's wanting from us and what He's making available in Jesus is a heart that wants to do the things that He wants us to do, that desires to live out of a heart of gratitude for what's been given to us in Jesus Christ. And if we want to be kingdom people, if we want to be grace community kind of people, that's what we're going to proclaim to the world. And we're going to say to God, to others, what God has said to us. You can get there from here. Amen? Amen.